And now call in on your good habits. What do you do that you would label a good habit? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We just spoke with Charles Duhigg, author of The Power of Habit, mostly about breaking bad habits. But one of the things most interesting about his work is his take on how you can create good habits. So our follow-up call-in is, let's hear from you about your good habits. What are they? What do you do that works for you and that other people might learn from or copy? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And again, we so often use the word habit as a bad thing. We talk about our bad habits, smoking, overeating, whatever it may be. But habits can be a good thing. What is a good habit of yours? 212-433-WNYC, especially if you think it might help other people who are listening in some way. And here's a little bit of Charles Duhigg from our previous segment on the idea of good habits. He has this hopeful note on habits, good and bad.
You know, one of the things that we've learned in the last decade from these studies in neurology laboratories is that any habit can be changed. Any behavior can be altered if you approach it the right way. It doesn't matter how old you are or how ingrained that habit is. And I think that's really empowering for some people because no matter how successful you are, no matter, you know, how much you're able to sort of get things done, there are these little things that bother everyone, right? That you feel powerless over. When you eat the cookie in the afternoon, or you don't listen to your kids as they're really talking to you, or you don't engage enough sort of mentally with your spouse. These small little habits that we fall into, once you understand how to identify them, you know you can figure out how to change them. And that's really empowering.
So Charles Duhigg from earlier in the hour, call in now with your good habits. I remember the actress Julie Andrews once saying in an interview that she finds freedom in structure. In other words, being in a set of good routines paradoxically gives her the freedom to be creative. I wonder if something like that is true for you. If so, call us with your good habits, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with David in Manhattan. Hi, David. You're on WNYC.
Hey, Brian. So I discovered a silly little habit having to do with my contact lenses, and I made a conscious effort to turn it from a bad habit to a good habit. I would always pull the plunger up in the sink when I was washing my lenses so I wouldn't wash them down if I dropped it. Mm-hmm. But I realized I was in the habit of pushing the plunger down before I rinsed out my contact lens case. And once in a long while, if I was groggy or distracted, I would forget to put one of them in and wash it down the drain. So I told myself, if I can resist that habit of pushing the plunger down before I rinsed out my contact lens case a dozen times, I thought I could create the new habit of keeping the water in the sink until after I had rinsed out the case. And so far, it's working. The interesting thing is, once in a while, I forget, and I'll feel myself reaching for the plunger, but something kicks in, and I don't touch it, rinse the lens case, empty the sink. There's my story.
There's your story. Does it have implications for anything more profound in your life than not losing your contact lenses down the drain?
Well, yeah, I think the lesson is, you know, if you identify the problems you're creating for yourself, silly little things, it takes about as much time to create a good habit as to create a bad habit. The trick is identifying what are your fixable bad habits, and that was my insight.
Thank you very much for your call. Good start to this. And let's try Jim in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What's your good habit?
My good habit is I make my bed every day.
You do? Do you live alone?
No, I don't. Well, right now I sort of am, but I was living alone, and then I started to live with somebody who made the bed every day, and then I realized how much I liked it when I came home. And we have sort of a bi-coastal type thing going on. So I live by myself now, and off and on, but I make sure I make the bed every day, and it just makes me feel better. And then
why does it make you? That's the question. Why does it make you feel better, and how else does it influence your life? Because a lot of people who live alone, they say, "Well, why should I make the bed? Nobody else is going to look at it. And then when I want to get in my bed, I can get in my bed."
Well, you know, I think it makes me feel better because I was visiting a friend in Tennessee, and we weren't really talking about this, but he makes his bed every day too, and he just mentioned, we weren't talking about it, but he said, you know, if you make your bed every day, at least you've accomplished one thing.
Yeah.
And that, like, sort of made total sense to me because, I don't know, I guess I have a complex about not accomplishing things.
One foot in front of the other, starting with the first foot. All right, that's a good one. Thank you. John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, John, what's your good habit?
Good morning, Brian. What I try to do is compliment everybody that's waiting on me, whether I'm checking into a doctor's office or a department store or a pharmacy. The person I compliment them, maybe if they're wearing a name tag, I say, what a beautiful name. Or the lady, your earrings are super. Or a fella, gee, that's a great shirt. And it seems to kind of break the ice, make their day. It makes me feel good. I'm sincere. But why not compliment them? It's so difficult to wait on the public. And I think it's a good idea.
This is such a fabulous call. You did such a great job, John, by calling in and saying this so well.
Thank you, Brian.
Do you like it like that?
I do. You reversed it. So, yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I think people appreciate just being thanked. They don't even have to be complimented if you don't mean it. But the people who do these service jobs that, you know, John says people are waiting on the public every day, acknowledge them. Thank them. Don't treat them like slaves. Harvey in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC. Hi there. What's your good habit?
Good morning. My habit is cleaning my apartment. I used to have a cleaning lady, and then I had a, you know, cut back economically. So for a while, I really wasn't taking care of my apartment, but I kind of stumbled on watching some of these cable TV shows about people who are buying or selling remarkably lavish apartments, so often here in New York. And I looked around my apartment, and I realized that it was pretty nice as long as I kept it tidy. And so I went from, you know, like huffing and puffing about doing it to cleaning it. And then I found that if I bought the right materials to clean it, it really got cleaned quicker. I was satisfied with what it looked, and I really, you know, enjoyed my apartment much more.
That's pretty good. So you go a step further than the guy who makes his bed every morning. You clean the whole apartment. Harvey, thank you very much. John from Fanwood writes on our webpage, for longer than I can remember, I do 100 stomach crunches and 25 push-ups before my shower on work days. I'm semi-retired and only work 3 days a week, and I can't seem to do the exercises on my days off. I'll be 65 in April, so I guess it's not such a bad habit. He does it on the work days. I guess that's related to one of my own good habits, which is running. And I've noticed over the years that it's become a habit. I used to have to push myself to do it, but now I crave it after work. And it obviously has health benefits, but it is also definitely a habit. People say, oh, you're so good, you're so disciplined that you do that so regularly. But really, it has become a habit. I crave it by the late afternoon. And it seems to work as a good habit for me anyway. So what's a good habit for you? Rosemary on Staten Island. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
These are two very good habits for people who drive cars. Number one, always lock your car with your keys from the outside. The only way you should lock your car is with the keys from the outside, and then this way you'll never lock your keys in your car. That's number one. Number two, never put anything on the roof of your car because you'll forget about it. If you put it on the hood of your car instead, you'll see it when you get into your car.
So these both would work for Mitt Romney, it occurs to me, because he shouldn't put the dog on the roof of the car.
Right.
Because he might lose it. And his wife, who has the two Cadillacs, if she only uses the keys for the one on the East Coast, then she won't lock herself out and have to go to the West Coast for her other Cadillac.
Sounds good. Or call one of her servants to help her out of it.
Thank you for your call. Susan in Manhattan, what's your good habit? Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi, Brian. Yes, I was just telling your screener that I've always had this habit of writing lists because I've always had like a million things to do, as we all do. And I'm a single mom of two kids, and I work full time, and I pick them up after school and take care of the house and all this stuff. So I'd write down this list every day of things I had to do. And it would usually come to about 80 things, which is ridiculous, and nobody can do 80 things in a day. So I would get exhausted after seeing that list and want to take a nap. So I started to really prioritize, and I realized as I began to prioritize that I would prioritize by doing some of the most inane things and some things that I derived a lot of comfort from, like making a banana cream pie, but it wasn't really an essential thing, and it wasn't going to move me forward work-wise or any otherwise. So I really had to, you know, kind of study how I prioritize. And so now what I do when I make that list, you know, a kind of neurotic list of 80 things to do, which I can't do at all, I pull out the most essential. I basically categorize the list, and then I pull out the most essential and pressing work thing that I need to do, and that goes at the top of the list. At the same time, I pull out the most pressing, you know, domestic chore I need to do, which is usually, you know, putting the linens, you know, my kids, if they wet their beds or something, you know, putting the linens in the wash, so that's just going, and the machine is taking care of that. And then I pull out, you know, another, you know, thing out of another category that's really important. Yeah. And I just, you know, do, you know, it makes me, you know, my naturally neurotic self calmer, because I know I'm going to get the most important 3 or 4 or 5 things yes. done in the day.
That, and I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time. But it's really interesting because usually people stop at the first thing you said, which is to make a to-do list at the beginning of the day as a good habit. You realize that the to-do list revealed to you that you had too much on your to-do list if you had 80 things, and it was impossible. So then you had to prioritize. So that's a pretty interesting secondary lesson from the to-do list. So thank you for your call on that. And we will close out this call-in on your good habits with this quote from Robert Frost that somebody just put on our website. The first thing I do in the morning is to make my bed. And while I'm making up my bed, I am making up my mind as to what kind of a day I am going to have. Robert Frost. And thanks to Tom for posting that. And thanks to Charles Duhigg and his book, The Power of Habit, for inspiring the call-in. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.